In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this, the 12th Sunday after Trinity, we receive from our fathers the healing of Christ and the deaf and mute man. To be deaf is no light thing. Our world exists within conversation. How we relate to one another exists in our words. Words shape our thoughts and our minds. They are the basis of our life. So it is not much of a stretch at all to assert that what we hear matters. Christ himself knows this very well, as he says several times throughout the Gospels, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That is, he gives a call to mankind to hear and believe the word of God, to repent of our sin, and to believe the gospel. To use our ears for what God has intended them, to be in a right relationship with him. To orient ourselves through that which we hear, not towards temporal and fleeting things, but towards the eternal. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," is a call from the Almighty God to open our ears against the indoctrination and the garbage of this world that fills them, to clear out the profane and unholy things, and to be filled with that which is good and holy. If we spend all of our time listening to things that are contrary to God's word, whether it is the television, bad theology, the radio, take your pick of all the things we hear in our daily life, if we fill our time and our ears with these things, we are fools if we think it does not affect us. Because words matter. What we hear matters. But all too often, we think that we know better. We tell ourselves that we are certainly strong enough to handle it. It won't affect me, but it does. Consider how much of your day you spend filling your ears with anything but the Word of God. Maybe you hear God's Word a few minutes a day, but for many, this is the only time, on either Saturday night or Sunday morning. For 1 hour, our ears are full of the Word of God, and we go home and we fill our ears, even on the car ride home, with talk radio or with music that is contrary to God's Word. We are constantly being bombarded on all sides by advertising, political campaigns, even our own friends and neighbors and our own dear family who have rejected Christ in favor of the ways of the world. 1 hour a week, compared to the horde of messaging that goes on in our culture, is really a drop in the bucket. And that is actually assuming you pay attention for the whole hour, for the whole divine service. And this has had a disastrous effect upon us as a people. Because what we hear daily and constantly changes our heart and our mind. It shapes who we are. It shapes how we think. And it does it without us even realizing it. Christians with good intentions prioritize all sorts of worldliness rather than godliness. And today's gospel shows us just that. For here in the gospel, a man is unable to speak. He is unable to hear, and he is brought to Christ, and Christ heals him. And that indeed is miraculous, and a whole sermon into itself about the breaking forth of the new creation, about the divinity of Christ. But that is not where I want to look today. The ESV translation we just read says that after the healing, the man begins to speak plainly. And in our context, as we think about this as Christians, we often are just caught up with the idea that he was articulate. He was able to actually begin speaking again, was no longer mute. But the Greek word used there is orthos. And the gospel writer chooses this word intentionally. There's a plethora of other words he could have used just to mean he began to speak. But he throws that adjective on there. He began to speak orthos. That is, rightly or correctly. It's where we get our word orthodox. To speak correctly about your topic. So what St. Mark is saying is more than this man has regained his hearing, although that is true and wonderful in and of itself, but he hears, and in his hearing, he confesses. He speaks rightly about Christ because he has heard the word of God. Hearing brings about a confession. Hearing brings about a profession about the truth of Christ and about who he is. And so this man not just begins speaking, but he begins speaking rightly about Christ. He speaks according to the doctrine and to the orthodox teachings of Christ. He submits himself to Christ's will as he is healed in this miraculous way. And so it is, he is brought from the silence by the work of Christ, he is brought to speech. And what does he speak? He speaks that which he hears. He begins to make a confession. He speaks according to the word of God. Because Christ fills his ears. That is what it means for this man that Christ is present for him. Is that he must make a confession and he cannot help but to do so because his ears are full of God's word. And praise be to God for this man that he does. Because that is exactly what is a Christian response. He responds as a Christian because Christ's presence enacts a change in him. Not purely physical, but spiritually. He is no longer physically deaf and mute, but he is also spiritually no longer deaf and mute. He hears and he speaks according to God's command. And so it is that by the power of Christ, the sinful man is cast aside in favor of the new man. That is what it means to come into Christ's presence as a Christian. That is what it is like to experience a God that is for you. It is not some feeling of peace, some emotional experience. No, it is to make a confession with your lips and to speak rightly about God as he pours out his lavish grace and mercy upon you who do not deserve it. It is to submit yourself to his reason and his understanding, his ways, his timing, not your own. To speak rightly about Christ, though, requires us to know who he is and what he has done. And that requires that we actually have ears to hear. If we are to speak rightly, like this man did, about Christ, to believe in our hearts and to confess with our lips and so be saved by Christ, it means we actually need to know God's word, to be filled with it, to not simply hear it once a week, to not simply hear it just when it is convenient for us, but to give it a priority, to recognize the word of God for what it is, life itself. This is the voice of our Lord and our God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear it. Find ways to read and teach yourself to read the Bible more faithfully. Maybe it's something as simple as placing it upon your bed pillow or upon the seat in which you sit to eat dinner, so every time you go to sit down or lay your head down, you are forced to move it and be confronted by it. Listen to sermons, to theological podcasts. Heaven forbid we read books on theology. There is so much filth going into our ears and minds, we would do well to increase our hearing of God's word. For all too often we fill our ears and lives with all manner of things not befitting a Christian. And because of this, all too often we give in to what we have heard the world proclaim time and time again, even without realizing it. All too often the confession our lips is just, be nice. Go along to get along. Simply love each other. It doesn't really matter what you believe, what you confess, what you say. As long as you're a good person, you're fine. But that isn't Christianity. That is not right speak. That is a confession that isn't focused upon God and an eternal truth, but upon man and his feelings. It is a confession that ultimately means nothing. But we tell ourselves it's for good reason. We make such a weak confession and we delude ourselves into thinking we're being godly. We tell ourselves our motives are pure and holy. After all, it's terribly rude to disrupt a family dinner. It's not nice to tell someone you love what they're doing is wrong. It's difficult and it's uncomfortable. God wouldn't want me to do that. So we reason our way out of doing it under the guise of sensibilities and understanding. We allow and encourage all sorts of sin, vice, and wickedness. The one who has ears, hear. That all too often we find ourselves not speaking rightly about Christ with this man whom Christ heals, but with the crowd. We find ourselves speaking, to be sure, but speaking in a way that does not heed the words of Christ. Speaking that on the surface looks good, it sounds pleasing, but it shows a clear regard for Christ as the Son of God and his authority in our life. We confess, claiming to praise God, all the while elevating ourselves and casting him aside. Consider the crowd after the healing of this man. They don't seem too bad, do they? It seems as if all is well. They're going out, they're proclaiming what Christ has done for this man with great zeal. Certainly they can't be a bad thing. But Christ charges them not to. Not just once, but several times. And the more Christ tells them not to go out proclaiming, the more they do it. They have no real concern for what Christ has actually said. To them it seems good, and so they're going to do it. They're so caught up in the wonderful thing in front of them, they don't listen to the one who works it. Regardless of whether it is truly good or evil, it seemed good to them, and so they are going to do it. And that's all that matters. Christ's own words do not fill them. Do not be like the crowd. Be like this man who speaks orthodoxly, rightly. Because Christ has charged each and every one of you, just as the crowd, to listen to him. To listen to his word, to hear with our ears what he has done for us, and to submit to his will, and then to go out and speak rightly. To proclaim Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, he has charged you, but he does not leave you alone to do it. Just as he came to the deaf and blind man, he comes to you through his church. He comes to you in and with his word. so you might be filled. Your ears might hear his word, and you might be healed. You might speak rightly. Just as the deaf man was healed of his spiritual deafness and muteness, so are you. Just as Christ pulls this man out of the crowd, out of the world, he has called you out of the world into his church, into his kingdom, to open your ears to his word, and then to place upon your tongue the very word of God, that you might speak rightly. Christ, the very word of God, took upon human flesh for you. He was crucified for you, so that you might be filled with the very word of God, both in hearing and in eating, in the supper and in his preached word, so that you might speak rightly about him, so that you would have the filth of this world, the filth of your own sin cleansed and your tongue and mind freed from the clouds of death. Let us listen to him. Let us submit to him, confess him as our own hope and our salvation. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen.